Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath. I'd like to welcome our visitors today. I didn't see them in the audience earlier, but that's great. Great to have you, and good to see everybody's smiling face today as well. I'd like to welcome those on Zoom as well, and have a happy Sabbath. Just before service today, somebody said, was your wife kissing you before church today? You have lipstick all over the side of your face there. But that's not the case. I have a little medication on there, and it's a reaction from that. So nothing contagious. So you can say hi to me after church. So my message today is part two of what I spoke about last time. The title is Work, 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 Part Two, That's All I Do. So in my last message, I spoke about our jobs as Christians and that we're called to a full-time job. It's not part-time. We're not hired through a temporary service or anything like that. It's a calling that's a full-time job. It's a part of our lives. And Jesus Christ gave his life so that we could live this type of life. You and I are called to complete a way of life in his service. And that's our vocation. Our vocation is our life. Our vocation is actually our life. Let's turn to with our first scripture today, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. And in the King James Version, it actually uses the word vocation. I, therefore, and this is Paul speaking here, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So this is our vocation. This is what we do as a job. And that goes into every single aspect of our life. When we signed up at baptism, we agreed to the terms, and we said that we were going to take this job that Christ gave to us and that we now are committed to. It's a job this present world does not want. This world does not want to live the way that God's given us and instructed us to live. You know, very few today are cut out for, or matter of fact, they're not equipped to do the job that you are with God's Holy Spirit. They're not cut out for it and they're not equipped to, but you are. You were cut out for it, or he wouldn't have chosen you, and he is equipping you for that. He's preparing you, and if you're not baptized, if you're not a baptized member, and you're considering that, you will be equipped if you heed the calling. Our thoughts, our speech, our actions are part of the job 24/7, 365. We don't take a day off from being a Christian. If we do, it's probably a bad day. You know, God gave us an employee manual. I work a lot with policy and procedures, and we have an employee manual. I actually have to sign off saying I read the employee manual each year. But this is our employee manual. This has the policies and procedures for the employment that God gave us. It's all in here, what we need to do. We just need to read it. Part of our job is to know the book and to know the policies and procedures. Our employer, God, wants us to have a friendship. Now, I don't know of any CEO that wanted to be a friend of mine. They haven't invited me over to their house for dinner. They haven't said, hey, Mark, you know, come on over, man. I want to know you a little bit better. But Christ does. He says he wants to know us. He wants to have a friendship with us. What employer do you know who does that today, especially the CEO of a large corporation? He wants to break bread with you. He wants to share an intimate meal with you. I'm just going to go over a few things we'll speak about today. He wants to have that intimate meal, and he wants to promote you, and I don't want to use that word. I hear that with a lot of the health, wealth gospel today, but God truly does want to help you succeed. He does want to promote you in that way. He wants you to be a success. I just think it's an overused word. I probably shouldn't have used it, but upon your hiring, he planned to relocate you to a premium property as well. You're going to be relocated someday to a nice, new, beautiful home. Not a rundown neighborhood or a house that falls apart, but it'll be nice and new. And as a matter of fact, some translations call it a mansion. You know, we've been offered a health care plan like nothing any corporation on this earth can offer us. We have this amazing health care plan that, in fact, it'll put the health care industry out of business someday. When you put your heart into the work of God, especially for God, There's an immediate bonus, and there are some gratifications as you start to live God's way. I think when we all started to live God's way, we started to see some of the things that we were not happy with. All of a sudden, God was giving us, as we changed, we started to have that joy and that happiness that comes with living God's way. So those are up front. You get bonuses, and you get rewarded up front with God. Don't ever take that away. Don't minimize that. Look at those things. Those are blessings that God is giving you for living His way. Now, unfortunately, some people don't see that. But the real satisfaction is yet to come, and it's perpetual. It will never end. Never end. And again, some people just never catch that vision. I feel sorry for the people that don't, and I think everyone in this room try to capture that vision. It's important to catch that vision. They can't accept the dinner. They don't accept the dinner invitation. They don't take the time to read the manual. They don't put the time in to develop that close relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father, our Creator. Now let's take a look at some of those benefits and gifts that God's given us today. In this life, you know, most of us will never dine with the CEO of our company, or the head of your company. You'll not get the invite. They're not going to invite you. But the Creator of the universe, who made everything possible, has invited you to dinner. God really desires and wants to know you, and He's interested in your life. He's interested in everything you do. He's interested in your success. The dining experience with God is a dinner experience only a foolish person would pass up. Yet, still the Bible says some will. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Revelation 3, 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. You know, God, He loves us, but He wants us to make some changes. And He lovingly will rebuke us and chasten us. Be zealous. He wants us to have energy for the job. And the job is to make changes. Our job is to make those changes. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So Jesus Christ is at the door. He's the one knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, there's an action here. We have to open the door. We need to open the door. I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Will we open that door of opportunity? Or will we close it? When we're corrected at work, do we respond with making the changes that we need to? Do we get in a bad attitude? Because really, in a sense, you know, God is watching what your attitude is with your employer when you are corrected at work. It's how you're going to respond to him. He's judging us on that if we've been called. Jesus may correct us. Will we make the changes necessary in our life? Are we listening to what he's telling us? You know, sadly, some will hear the voice, and for whatever reason, they don't open the door. They're too busy with a side job, meaning they have both feet in the world. They have one in the church, and they have one in the world. You know, two jobs create a conflict. It creates a conflict of interest in many companies. So if you work in finance or in banking or a competitor, any kind of a competitor, most of the policies will tell you you cannot have that conflict of interest. If we have one foot in the world and we have one in God's church, that's a conflict of interest. You know, Jesus Christ loved to break bread with people. He loved to share a meal and get to know them intimately. You know, even so much so, he was accused. Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 34, and see what he was accused of. But he just loved to be with all kinds of people. He loved people. Luke 7, 34. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You know, he enjoyed friendships and relationships. Then and now. And he wants that relationship with you. Or else you wouldn't be here today, or you wouldn't be listening to this message. He came to help them, and he was interested in making them the best that they could be. He's a good employer and was highly criticized by those who weren't even under his employ. They were under the employment of the competition. You know, he sees a potential in you even if you're a tax collector. Anybody works for the IRS, I'm sorry if I offended you, but in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, it's written, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." You know, this banquet that we're invited to is not just a dinner or a supper. It's a ceremonial bond. It's a bonding. It's a marriage with Jesus Christ. We're invited to a dinner that builds a relationship, and it's a permanent bond. It's a contract that we have, and it's a commitment, and it's building that relationship and that bond. In Luke chapter 13, it's very clear that you want to be at the dinner. Jesus said that people from all corners of the earth will dine with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. But there will be many, and my emphasis, many, who assume, and my emphasis, assume, that they will be there, but will not. I think there'll be many that will be there, but will not, that want to be there. They think they'll be there, but will not. You know, your place is at the table. There's a name for you at the table. Will you be there? You know, Jesus Christ has a vested interest in your success. Not in the terms of the world's success or standards, but in a godly standard. He wants you to reach your potential, and he's given us the opportunity to be one of his first fruits and the firstborn children into his family. You know, no one of us want to end up at the bottom of the heap. All right, nobody wants to be at the bottom. Do you want to stay in the same job forever? You know, God wants you to see you grow. He wants to give you good reviews, not bad reviews. You know, we have these yearly reviews. We have semi-annual reviews at work. How's your review going along? Okay, we're not at Passover. I know that's a time that we traditionally look at a review, but we're not there yet. But it's good to take a daily inventory of how we're doing. Let's review ourselves and make sure that we're doing the job that we were hired to do. Are we growing in our job? Or are we just kind of gliding? I think this world has so many distractions, I think people have a tendency to glide from time to time. I know we all do. And we need to get off that glider. We need to start doing the job that we were hired for. You know, God gives us responsibilities now, and he's looking at whether or not he can trust each and every one of us with the job that he's given us. And if he can trust us here, he knows that he can trust us in the future. And he's watching us to see if we are trustworthy stewards of the resources that he's given us. You know, God won't promote a leader that's abusive, an abusive husband, or for that matter, an abusive wife. Doesn't matter. You know, husbands, we're to show that special care and love for our spouses, for our wives. Just like Christ showed that special care and is showing a special care for his church today. And wives need to respect their husbands. They need to encourage them. They need to be there for them. And men, obviously, we need to do that for our wives as well. But that special care of taking care of the church, that is a deep, deep love, men. And we have a heavy responsibility, and we need to be fulfilling that. If we're not following the plan for a successful family here on earth, how is God going to trust us in following the plan for the successful family in his kingdom? Let's follow the plan. You know, we must be different than the world. We need to be that good example for others and show God that we're willing to do what it takes. We're to become mature Christians, and maturity is shown by a person who's overcoming. They make progress, yet they still make mistakes. But they continue to make progress. None of us are perfect, and I don't think our employers, I know my company knows I'm not perfect. They've seen that. I've made my mistakes. But they know I try. I try to improve, and I think we all need to continue to do that. I think most employers have that annual review for their employers, and one of the questions they ask on the job often is, do you have the tools to do the job? Are you equipped to do this job? We've been fully equipped. We don't have excuses, brethren. We have the best. We have the best technology. We have the mind of God behind us. What other technology is better than that, okay? You know, God's given us the tools. We have the employee manual, his Bible. We have his Holy Spirit. We have our church family to encourage us. We have a team of people that are here that God called to encourage each and every one of us every week if we show up. I think it's important to show up to the job. At my employer, they've called us back in the office. I have to admit, it's pretty comfortable sitting at home in my pajamas and drinking coffee till noon and maybe optional taking a shower at noon or at 5 when I finally get off of work. But there's something to be said about that teamwork and that camaraderie that you get when you're face-to-face with people. And it brings better relationships. Maybe it doesn't have to be 5 days a week, at least that's what I'm trying to tell them. But you do need to show up. And it's that camaraderie that you get from that face, that intimacy that God's given us as human beings, that face-to-face contact that we need with each other. And it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. And the Bible contains a policy and procedures to best run the business. It gives guidelines and examples for conduct, just like the corporate policy does. And the Bible tells us ramifications for breaking, including termination in extreme cases. God gives us a lot of room for mistakes. No doubt about it. God is very merciful. I'm not trying to scare anybody here. Only the incorrigibly wicked, I believe, will be the ones that will be fired, so to say. So it's going to be those incorrigibly wicked. You know, communication is a key to any successful plan. We have to be able to communicate. We have an open line of communication and an open door policy with our Maker God. You know, he's the head of the universe, and he makes himself accessible to all of us employees, anytime, anywhere, any place. He is accessible. You can ask Paul. He called on him in prison. Jonah called on him in a whale or whatever, a big fish, in the belly of a fish. He's accessible anytime, anywhere. I don't know many other companies where your boss is accessible all the time. I mean, even they go on vacation. God doesn't take a vacation from you. When you're on vacation, you can call on him. So, you know, God understands where we're coming from better than we do, and he never misinterprets or misunderstands. He can read our hearts, and he knows in advance. He knows in advance. Next, let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Revelation 3, 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You're going to be sitting in the boardroom. All right, you're going to be there with Jesus Christ and God the Father in that throne room. I don't want to minimize that. It's actually a throne room. It's not a man-made boardroom. But to sit next to Jesus Christ, what an awesome blessing that's going to be someday. It means you'll rule alongside him. More important than sitting in the boardroom with the execs. You know, part of our project is to continue to grow and get better at our job so that we can sit next to Jesus Christ. We need to be constantly preparing for whatever it is that he has in store for us next. You know, overcomers will be sitting in that throne. Those are the ones who will be doing it, will be sitting there. You know, Jesus created us with the ability to overcome, and he made it possible through the sacrifice and his plan. That was a part of his plan. But the fact is, you and only you can make the decisions for you. Only you can make the decisions for you. You know, we're all different in unique projects that Jesus Christ is overseeing and working with. You know, he's patient, kind, and is never late in working with us as a part of his master plan. You know, we're the ones that don't always show up to work. We're the ones who show up late. It's not God. You know, we sometimes cause delays in the project, don't we? Sometimes we cause delays in the project where God wants to take us. It's because we're human. I mean, we're all human. We all have human nature. And some of us are more hard-headed than others. We're slow to learn lessons. You know, but when we respond, Jesus is excited and it pleases him that we're being responsive. It pleases him when we respond. Don't you want to make him pleased with you? I think we all do. We all want to make our bosses happy. Our reviews go a lot better, and so does the paycheck. You know, some people have bad habits for showing up late and take occasional absences, and others take leave of absences. Some that are called will even be looking for another job. The problem with finding another employer is that the job may seem better and easier on the surface, but in the end, the job will never fulfill. It'll leave the person empty, empty of accomplishments. They'll have an empty life and maybe even hurt themselves and others in the process. You know, the benefit package isn't what it appears. It might be all the shiny thing over here, but it's going to let you down. It's going to let you down. You know, the competitor, the benefit package just will let you down. It's working for the competitor. It's working for the competitor, and we don't want to be working for the competitor. He wants our heart, our mind, and our soul, and he wants our eternal life as well. He doesn't want to see children in God's family. He doesn't want to see God growing a family, and his number one job for him is to stop it. That's what he wants to do. He wants to stop that growth. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Luke 9, 62. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Once we accept this job, we can't look back. We have our hand to that plow. We have a job. We have to keep plowing forward. I've never seen a farmer with a Clydesdale horse start to go backwards with that horse. I've never seen that happen. They don't replow that field, that old field. They just keep going forward. We're supposed to be forward moving, forward looking. We need to keep moving and have progress and plowing forward. Let's all pray that we don't fall into that category. We don't want to quit. I've seen quitters before. What the quitters did often were they lost focus. They didn't have that vision in the first place. They took their eyes off the goal. They thought the grass was greener on the other side or easier. Look at the world today. Are you kidding me? You know, some people never took the time to build that relationship after they were baptized with God, and they faded away. You know, they never learned to love God. Because you know what? It takes time. It takes effort to learn to love God because you have to build that relationship. It's just like a marriage. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It doesn't just come to you. It's not by magic or something. You know, some people are in the pursuit of gold and glitter and fame, and that's going to leave them empty as well. It's all going to fade away someday. You know, I feel bad that they can't see that. I feel really bad that they can't see that. So I will ask the question, what are we spending our time on? I'd much rather go through this life with God than without him. We made that commitment. Let's continue with that commitment. Have any of us worked with arrogant people? I'll ask that question. You have to raise your hand. Or maybe we've been one of them, hopefully in the past. Now, if you're in a corporate world, we all know some people that think that they know more than the boss. They think, I'm smarter than him. Man, I'm telling you, hey, with this, and they're whispering, or, you know, let's do this. And they think they're going to have a coup in a corporation. I just like that one. It's not going to happen. It's pretty rare when the boss doesn't get their way unless they do see something. And again, as Christians, we should be going to our bosses with the right attitude for sure. But you know, Satan thought he was smarter than the boss. That's an attribute. That's one of his trademarks, is he thought he knew better than the boss. You know, he thought he knew better than God. He thought he should run the show. He thought he should take over and be the decision maker. Well, you know, it's not going to end well for Satan in the end. And it wouldn't end well for any of us if we thought we were going to run the show as well. You know, Satan's reward is waiting for him, and he wants to take us with him. You know, losers love losers. They want more losers. That's what they like. That's another attribute of a loser. They want to take you with them, all right? They don't want to go alone. They love to take the whole group with them if they could. He doesn't want to see you promoted as a child of God, a glorious child in God's family. We need to keep in mind that when we think that we can live better, a better way of life, or even reason our sins away, and I'm telling you, we have this propensity as human beings to think we can reason through our sins, and we cannot be doing that, brethren. We can't reason, well, you know, I'm in this situation, I could do this a little while, and you know, God understands. No, we cannot be doing that. That's wrong. We can't reason through our sins. In essence, we said that we know better than God, just like Satan did. But when we put our whole hearts into living God's way and doing his job and his work, we're building on what God wants to accomplish. And that's what we want to do. We want to accomplish his work. We're contributing to that great plan and the great work that he's completing in each and every one of us here on earth. You know, great things usually start small, but that's because things that are great have growth. Great things start small, but things that are great have growth. You know, God isn't out of touch. He has his pulse on his church, his children, and his plan. You know, we've had surveys at work that ask, you know, do you have a best friend at work? So we have this survey, they come around, they haven't done it the last couple of years, but they did it for about 10 years in a row. Do you have a best friend at work? Who is your best friend at work? You know, God wants to be your friend at work, at home, at play, on vacation. He wants to be your friend everywhere. He is with you if you let him in your life. You know, God wants to be your friend in all those places. He wants to have that close relationship with you. Even if you don't know God, he knows you. He'll help you remove obstacles in your life unless they're there to actually help you. I know I've prayed to have obstacles removed, but after I had a trial one time that lasted about 2.5 years, after 2.5 years, I saw those obstacles were there to help me grow. Then he removed them. 2.5 years. It was painful. But 2.5 years. But I finally saw the big picture. And it was a great trial. It's something I'll never forget to move me forward. And that's what he's doing in each of our lives. They can help us grow, to strategize, to be more creative, but most importantly, to draw closer to him. They'll help you become an even greater success, and they'll strengthen you as well. There's nothing wrong with asking God to remove the obstacles, but when he doesn't, look to how he may want you to deal with them for your personal growth and for your learning. You know, in the spirit of learning, you know, God's offering us free education. I mean, how many employers do that? And there's no strings attached. You just have to show up. You have to listen, read your Bible, and ask him to help you understand. That's a part of the educational plan. He's opened our minds to the knowledge of his truth that the rest of the world won't even know for quite some time. Most people's minds will not be open to his truth for a while. But we've been blessed to know a lot of his truth. You know, what a great thing that is. And we can't judge others who don't know it because God hasn't opened their minds. But we also can't neglect the gift that he's given us to understand his truth and to take the time to dig in and to know God's word even more. How much do we value and love the truth? I think that's where some people have gone astray, is they didn't learn to value and love the truth that God's opened their minds to. Too many people have taken it for granted. Let's not take that for granted. Cherish it. Think about it throughout your day. Part of our job is to know God's word. We're derelict in our duty. We're derelict in our job if we neglect our studies. We can't just sit in class and listen once a week, if that. Some people think they paid their dues because they sit here once a week and they walk away, and then maybe they don't even think about God during the rest of the week. I don't know. But I hope that's none of us. I believe that those people are in peril. You know, the roaring lion is waiting at the door for anyone who is weak today. He's waiting today if you are weak. He knows the weak, and he wants to pick them off. He knows who they are. It's one of the best ways for our competitor to pick you off. He loves weaklings. You know, we need to be engaged in reading, studying, and meditating this life manual, the Bible. Then we need to apply what we've learned. So it's not just knowledge. I mean, there's people who just love knowledge and take it in and they never apply it, but we need to be the people that apply that knowledge. Now's the time we're to be applying the knowledge to our job, and we need to focus on what we're doing because you and I are the ones being judged today, not the rest of the world. It's you and I that are being judged today. We have a tendency to live our lives in a bubble sometimes. I mean, you know, sometimes I wake up in the morning, I'll do my study, I'll do my prayer, and I'll get into a meeting at work or something, and there I go with an attitude. And I forget for a moment because I start to get wrapped up in maybe the work that I'm doing. Or I drive my car and somebody cuts me off. Not pretty sometimes. So, but I think that's all of us, isn't it, from time to time. But we need to try to be cognizant of that and break that bubble that we live in sometimes as just being human beings. And use that Spirit of God. Ask him to help us in those situations. I mean, we need to minimize, make that less and less and less. That's what the growth is taking that. We don't always overcome right away, but it's each time as a day goes by and we don't allow that to happen, that's one day, then two, then three. And we need to add up to become better and to become better children of God. God provides the education and expects us to use it. It's one of his expectations for every single one of us. He gives us the helper, his Holy Spirit, which others do not have. And the education was provided with the intent to make the project and his plan a success. God does everything with intent. It's not just going to come to any of us without effort. Just hearing God's word once a week is not going to transform you. You'll be disappointed in your next review if you think that's what's going to happen. And in the end. You know, we've been created in the image of God. Do we realize how fantastic and amazing that is? You know, he made us to be fruitful, to work, and to be a success, and to be creative, just like him. You know, we've been given a mandate by God, and we're told to work and to flourish on this earth. You know, but he cannot bless us if we don't put forth the effort. We need to put forth that effort. Slackers cannot receive blessings from God. Let's not be slackers. We can't be Christian slackers. God doesn't reward laziness. Lazy make their own reward. So for our next scripture, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. The lazy make their own reward. Proverbs 6, 9. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like the prowler. and your need like an armed man. So laziness, that's their reward. When God said in Genesis chapter 1, 28, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, he was telling us to go work, to go build, go do creative things and make more people. So that's what he wanted us to do, not to laze around and just kind of lounge around. And he wanted us to go forth and do things. We have a job to do. He created us to work. And we've built, mankind has built communities and cities and great infrastructures. And they're really, really good things. There's just some amazing things. I think the largest building is in Dubai still. It's like over, it's over 2,000 feet tall. It's like 2,200 some feet tall. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, do you realize how high that is? I mean, I'd like to stand there and look. I haven't been to Dubai yet. But I mean, if I do, just to stand there and look up and see that amazing feat that mankind has done. And it's because we have the mind of God. We want to do those things. God's given us those desires to do that. And there's some very good things that man has done. But just think, if all these people, so from the beginning, if we had the Spirit of God and we started to create these things and work and do all these things, how beautiful and unpretentious and without pollution and without being tainted the world would be. And that's going to happen someday in God's kingdom. When people have God's Spirit, it'll be done with that right intent, the intent that God had from the beginning. As God's children, we're to create beautiful things. Our work is to be a work of beauty in us and anything that comes from within us. Whatever we do with our hands. God wants us to have beautiful work and work with intent. He created the Garden of Eden, the beautiful garden, and he wanted it to remain that way. Adam and Eve were to work the garden and to maintain it and to keep it. I mean, we don't have an actual garden right now, maybe, in our lives. I have a tiny garden in my backyard. I do grow plants in pots and things like that. But we have other things that he expects us to maintain in our lives. He wants us to maintain our home. I mean, we're supposed to be a good example to our neighbors. He wants us to maintain our health. It's the temple of God. We're to maintain this body. He wants us to maintain the church building here that he's given us. Those are things and projects that he's given us to do, that he wants us to work on. So next I want to take a look at the relocation plan that God has for each one of us. God's going to relocate us. And let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know the way. You'll know the way because you were the one who studied and meditated. You lived it in order to know it and to be a part of this, as I spoke of earlier. You'll be the one to know. You know, he's building a house that's better and bigger, but it's not a physical house. It's a spiritual house that he has prepared for us. It's about spiritual things that we're going to do, that he's going to prepare for us. It's not a house like we have now that every time you turn around, you got to invest money in because the roof needs repaired. You know, the plumbing goes bad. You need to replace a sink or whatever it is. It's just sometimes it can be money pits, can't they? I mean, I love my home, but it definitely takes a lot of money to keep up a home nowadays. So next, as I'm running out of time here, let's turn to his health plan. You know, our government has lamely tried to put some health plans together, haven't they? And they've all fallen apart. And they've become very high premiums, and I don't think they've really helped a lot of people. But you know, God has a health plan that will prevent illness and even death. I mean, I think it's the best, to me, that's a very attractive health plan. No premiums, no copays. But we have to be a part of that preventive plan. We have to be obeying God. He promised us eternal life, but we must obey him. That's a part of the prevention. So there's a prevention part to that plan. I'll just read the next two scriptures. Matthew 15, chapter 15, 30. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who are lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. We have a very merciful God. It says large crowds. It wasn't just a couple people. It was large crowds. And then he listened. He healed the lame, the crippled, the blind, the mute, and many others. There were a lot of people that he spent his time. He pities our infirmities. And Isaiah 53, I'll just say, by his stripes we are healed. It's because he did what he did for us. No human can offer this benefit package. This benefit plan offers us physical, emotional, and eternal well-being forever. Our work is probably one of the greatest examples of our faith to others. Our faith is exciting. Put excitement and faith and God's way into your work and whatever you put your hand to, whatever it is. A Christian shouldn't do things mindlessly and in compartments. We should do them with godly intent. My last scripture, Colossians 3, 23, 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. People do judge you by your work and by your works. We can't compartmentalize our lives. Christ lives in us. Work for him no matter what you do. He'll inspire you through his Holy Spirit. He'll guide you, give you strength and the right things to say and do. Our work is different, and people will notice it. Integrity, honesty, kindness, love, and caring are qualities not found on resumes in this world, but they're on our resume. In closing, go and serve God.